Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast made by fans like you, for fans like you. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. I'm your host, Joe Kuzma, and joining me today for this preview of Sunday, Christmas Day's matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Baltimore Ravens, welcome back for the first time since July, Nathaniel Bodner from Steel City Report.
How you doing, Joe?
I just told you, I'm running around with my head cut off. It's the holidays. There's all kind of rushing and deadlines, and I'm going crazy, man. And I'll tell you why I'm going crazy. I think the Baltimore Ravens are a trash football team that is lucky. And That's about as bold as I get with any of this, but I'm sick of hearing all of the trash talk from them. I'm sick of watching them squeak out these one-point victories, get wins over us against backup quarterbacks, or because they have a 95-yard touchdown or a blocked punt or some other BS. And you know what? Things aren't looking so hot again for us to be full strength. I was kind of anticipating what it might be like to have Ladarius Green for this game. Rosie Nix didn't play in the last one either. Sean Davis wasn't installed as a starter. We had Jarvis Jones and Anthony Chickillo start as the outside linebackers in that game. Ben comes back from an injury. But we got some bad news just a few minutes ago, and I'm not sure if you – I'm sure you did. You're all over Twitter just like I am and everything else. They're reporting Sammy Coates left practice with a hamstring injury.
That's huge. That's really huge. And I did an article on my website about how Sammy Coates, is just his presence opens up the offense, and it really does. He's a speedster. He can open up the vertical passing attack and get the shallow cross routes going for Eli Rogers, Antonio Brown, and other receivers. I think that this is going to be huge if he doesn't play. And I have a feeling that Ladarius Green already isn't going to play with his concussion that he has. He's still in concussion protocol. And it's already, Thursday? Today's Thursday that we're recording this? I don't even know what day it is. That's how crazy I've been, you know, around my house with the head cut off and everything. But I really think that if Sammy Coates is not playing in this game, that it's going to be pretty huge. So they have to lean on the running game of Le'Veon Bell. And something that I think is going to happen is if D'Angelo Williams does play, they're going to line Le'Veon Bell as a receiver a little bit more and have D'Angelo Williams maybe run a few plays here and there. I remember last week that he did not play because of that swelling of the knee. So hopefully that's all good to go, and he can get implemented in the offense.
Yeah, man, it's such a bummer hearing and seeing this stuff. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that about what day is it. Usually when we record these, I'm recording in the afternoon or evenings, and everybody's running around with real life. We're very passionate fans about this and want to make sure that they get the show in for all of our listeners. They're probably going to listen to this on a Friday morning or later. So usually I'm waiting till Friday after they do the practice and stuff, but with the holidays and running around, I forget what day it is too. I walked into the UPS store just yesterday, and I told the guy it was like a Monday on a Tuesday, and he goes, yeah, it's Wednesday. So that's about where I'm at too. And even D'Angelo Williams, who's a killer, did not play. Now I'm trying to think. He did not play in that game, I don't think. Several weeks ago. In fact, I'm going to have to pull that up now because I honestly cannot remember. But I agree with you. Lev Bell split out a lot more wide than they had been. You see the type of vertical threat that Ladarius Green is versus somebody had tweeted that out too, that like out of all of the eligible tight ends for this statistic, I think Ladarius Green was like number one in yards per catch or yards after the catch. And like Jesse James was like last or next to last in that same, the complete polar opposite in that category. So yeah, you're going to need somebody to step up in this game.
Absolutely. Next man up mentality is the Steelers' way, and it has been for the past few years. Now, one thing that I saw on Twitter and that has been floating around is Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith didn't practice again today. So he's, you know, possibly not going to play in this game. And he's one of their best corners. And I saw a stat. It was Graham Barfield on Twitter. I give the credit to him. Ravens allow 190 points per game when Jimmy Smith is healthy. Okay, 190. When he has missed or left early in a game, Baltimore has allowed 303 points per game. So, I mean, 303 to 190, I mean, that's insane. That's pretty big. So Jimmy Smith, I would say that he's not – you don't categorize him as a lockdown corner. You can potentially, but he's not, you know, one of the top corners, you know, like, you know, you hear the names of Josh Norman and Richard Sherman. You don't hear his name often, but he is a really good corner on that team that doesn't have that many secondary players that are that good. You know, Eric Weddle, he's like 34 years old. They got him. I think he has 4 interceptions on the season. Having a pretty good year, but, I mean, he's older. He's up there. Who's the other corner they have on the other side? Do you
it's
know?
Tavon Young, the fourth rounder from
– Oh, young rookie. He's been pretty good, actually. So, you know, going against, I mean, Antonio Brown, potentially, it's not going to be that good for Tavon Young,
in my
opinion.
I mean, it's not going to be good for Tavon. I was trying to think where he's from now, because he did pay a visit with the Steelers during draft season there. I wanted to say Georgia Tech, maybe, but absolutely. Just to give you an idea, when the Steelers played the Ravens in the last game, now I got it. It's up on the screen. D'Angelo Williams, 4 snaps, 1 carry, 1 yard out of 69 plays that the Steelers ran on offense. And of those plays they ran on offense, every single player from the Ravens secondary, including Jimmy Smith, and this is Ladarius Webb, Eric Weddle, Tavon Young, they played every single snap in that game. The only other player that stayed on the field the entire time is their leader in tackles, or the linebacker. I'll tell you what, that's kind of a big blow on both sides. We're going to see how this is going to match up. I think the Steelers might be better built to weather the storm than the Ravens in that department. The Ravens, they are second against the run. However, they are not very good against the pass. Their offense, likewise, is not very good at all. So, just bringing some of this up on the screen, and somehow I pulled up the wrong thing, man. I'll tell you what, I'm having one of these days.
So. It's all good. It's all good. I'm ready for Christmas, and I'm not ready for Christmas I'm ready for Christmas because, you know, you go with the family, great times and all that, but I'm ready for some butt kicking of the Ravens. That's what I'm ready for. And to top it off, they're going to have their color rush uniforms on, that dark black with that really nice gold finish that they have. It's going to be awesome. It really is. I personally, my prediction is that it's not going to be too close of a game. Normally, it's decided by 3 points or 4 points, or really close. But I don't see it this time around. I think that with a depleted secondary, with Jimmy Smith gone, I think that Antonio Brown is going to shred that defense. And with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger this time around, I think he's just going to be on fire, on point. Even though they don't have Ladarius Green, just watch the slot receiver, and Eli Rogers had a big game against the Bengals last week. So I think that they have it. Final score, I'll give a prediction here, 31-14.
2 touchdowns. So no Justin Tucker on Sunday is what you're thinking.
No, I don't think Justin Tucker, when your best player is a kicker. Seriously. Yeah, somebody, I forget, I read that on Twitter. When your best player is a kicker, you got something wrong with you. Like you said, they're squeezing out victories by 1, 2, 3 points every week, and they're not a really good team. Last week, the 2-point conversion
the Philadelphia Eagles
they didn't get that. Oh gosh, I was praying. I was like, oh come on.
For those who aren't aware, the Eagles were trailing by 7 in the fourth quarter. Carson Wentz leads them all the way down the field. They score a touchdown with 4 seconds remaining on the clock and decide to go for 2 and fail to convert. And Baltimore walks out of their last home game of the year with a victory, because had they lost that game, and I'm like, just kick the field goal or kick the extra point, which isn't a gimme anymore either, but please just kick it, make it, go to OT, and then you could have more control over your destiny than just one play. I mean, now you could screw up a play. God, I always think of this stupid Tim Tebow play to Demaryius Thomas when I think of one play and the instant TD. And I think somebody else did something similar, like C.J. Spiller when he was with the Saints had like an overtime touchdown as scamper for like 80-some yards or something like that. But it's not common. I mean, come on. Now, you were talking about Baltimore. I think I brought this up the last time I talked about the Ravens. And let's see here. Taking a look at some of their scores and what they've done. They beat the Browns by like 5, and then the second time they beat the Browns, they actually kind of handled business, 28-7. But as expected, I mean, they lost to the Cowboys, they lost to the Patriots. That Patriots score looks a lot closer than what the game actually was. The Patriots pretty much handled them. They blew out the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins were like a dish rag in that game. The Bengals blew it too. That was a 19-14 score as well. And even the Steelers game, it was 21-14. You have a touchdown on a punt return. You have a touchdown off of a big Mike Wallace play. Other than that, it's not like the Ravens really moved the ball too much. A lot of people also forget, too, Marquise Pouncey gets hurt in that game. You're playing a road game with road noise, away stadium, hostile environment. B.J. Finney, I remember there being one or two false start penalties and maybe even a bad snap like involved in that entire series in exchange between center and quarterback with Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben coming back from the injury, of course. But the last time these two teams met, you had mentioned Eli Rogers. He was targeted 10 times, which actually wasn't a game high for the Steelers offense, because Brown had 11 targets, caught 7 of those for 85 in the one touchdown. But Eli went 6 for 103 in that game with a 30-yard long. So Eli is definitely capable of stepping up here. And then, of course, remembering that Tavon Young, pretty solid young corner, pun intended, I guess. but he was bookended with Jimmy Smith there. Without Jimmy Smith, now you have to cover and account for two wide receivers that are still going to be on the field. You still didn't have Ladarius Green in that specific game, and you have to cover maybe 20 targets between each of them. I think that's going to pose a challenge despite the Ravens. And I found the numbers, and it was depressing me because I had just put all this stuff in here, and I think I lost what I had saved for a preview for this game on Steel City Underground. And the Ravens, they give up about 230 yards passing per game on defense. That's 10th in the league. Surprisingly, the Steelers only give up 245 for 14. So if people don't consider our secondary to be very strong, they're only giving up on average 15 yards more per game in passing than the Ravens. And that's the difference between 10 and 14th in the league.
You know what's the difference between the two teams, though, is the defensive front. You know, the Ravens have a really solid defensive front. Pittsburgh doesn't. I mean, Stephon Tuitt possibly cannot play this game because of his injury. And then you have the injury to Hayward earlier in the season. It's just a complete, utter mess. You got a rookie, Javon Hargrave, who's been a really great asset to the team. But this defensive front of Pittsburgh is the only difference between the defenses of the Ravens and the Steelers. Because I'll tell you what, I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary over the Ravens. And the reason I'm saying that is because over time I've seen, and I think we all have seen and witnessed, this secondary improving as the weeks progressed. We have Sean Davis. You remember him against the Eagles. One of the worst games I've ever seen. It was a screen to Sproles, and he was following the guy, turning his head like Ben Roethlisberger about to tackle that guy against the Colts in the divisional game in 2005. I mean, it was just back and forth. Then he gets in the end zone. He looked like a stump on the log. It was terrible. So he has improved drastically. Ever since he's been the starter, the team is 5-0. That's huge. And you have Artie Burns, the young corner. him and Ross Crockle are two great quarterbacks that, yes, they get beat occasionally and stupid things happen, but both have proved that they are getting better as time progresses. So I like Pittsburgh secondary this year, definitely, over what has happened in the past. You know, Cortez Allen, Antoine Blake, Valentino now. Ugh, terrible.
Hey, just terrible. an aside, and talking just some fantasy football in general, NFL, I was discussing with Eric Herman, your buddy, and we're talking fantasy. And we're talking about Allen Robinson this weekend because, and this came up actually as a side, you almost repeated word for word what Jim Mercalto put on the site just a day ago about Artie Burns and Ross Cockrell. And we brought up Antoine Valentino Blake, as he's changed his name, and he has a matchup this Sunday against Allen Robinson with the Jaguars, who just fired their head coach in Gus Bradley. And I'm just looking at that as a guy I've had sitting on my bench for fantasy for like the last 3-4 weeks, and I'm like, there's no way I cannot put Allen Robinson into my lineup this week. I think he's going to destroy the secondary for the Titans. I know this has nothing to do with the Steelers and the Ravens, but in a way it does, because now you don't have to worry about a guy that might make a play like one in every 30 plays or something versus two solid players who pretty much shut down the Bengals on two third down attempts last week, kept the Bengals off the field. They only had the ball for about 3 minutes or so in the fourth quarter. And the Steelers, the Bengals punted on that third down play. I think the second one was actually, I can't remember if it was Burns or Cockrell, but they each had one where they made a play on the ball, pass breakup, and the Bengals were forced to punt. And whichever one of those two corners got the last one, that was the last play that the Bengals ran on offense last week. So time of possession going to be huge in this one. Man, I was really hoping to see Sammy Coates in this one. As you said, he opened everything up. I think the other big question mark, of course, is going to be Stephon Tuitt, the defensive line. They have is it John Maxey, who is on the practice squad, has been taking a lot of first team reps, really hinting towards whether or not Tuitt is going to be ready to go or not. I guess we dodged a bullet as far as anything serious, but we know, as in the past, I think Mike Tomlin learned his lesson when he kept trying to rush Troy Polamalu back early, and Troy kept getting derailed and derailed and derailed for like a season or almost over two seasons where he was missing a lot of time. I think that the Steelers coaching staff's a lot more careful now in how they handle injuries and injured players and allowing them to return. Even D'Angelo Williams, they didn't let play last week, given him they looked at that field and said nope. And I think all of this factors in. We may not see to it, but to be completely honest, I've been somewhat impressed with LT Walton stepping in. I think Javon Hargrave is capable. They're going to have a rotation. They're going to be playing a lot of two-down linemen because we know the Steelers play about two-thirds in the nickel package. So they're not going to have a traditional nose tackle out there for most of these plays anyway. And this is what basically happened against the Bengals. We're going to see some three wide receiver looks with the Ravens, and I feel we could weather the storm with this. I don't know if we were matched up against a different team. I know Baltimore has had our number at different times. They usually get us when we have like Michael Vick or Byron Leftwich or somebody like that playing quarterback. But I do think that this is an ideal matchup. And even looking ahead to the following week, if the Steelers, I don't want to say survive, because I think they have the better team here, but they could go in, they could win, they could knock this out, they could rest the following week against the Browns and come back for full strength and host the playoff game at Heinz Field.
Absolutely. I can't. If they win this game, and I have to say, if they win the game, because we can't get ahead of ourselves and talk about playoffs, we can't get ahead of ourselves and talk about the second overall seed and how they can, you know, I think if you have the second overall seed, you get a bye, right? You can't talk about that. You get playing on Christmas, and after that, we could talk about all that. That's my mentality personally. That's
well,
how I,
yeah, I'm know. Kind of kicking the can down, but there's nobody. There is no one on either in the city of Pittsburgh or in the city of Baltimore looking past this Sunday whatsoever. It was kind of like a hypothetical as to whether or not, I mean, you're not going to want to damage Tuitt. You kind of almost, if Tuitt is banged up, You're not. This is different from like a concussion protocol type thing. Ladarius Green concussion protocol. If he's not cleared by the docs, he's not permitted to play. Period. I think Stephon Tuitt would want to play, but the coaches are going to ultimately make that decision, and they're going to make a determination of whether or not he would be healthy enough. And if he is healthy enough, could he get further injured by risking it? If they say yes, he'll sit on Sunday. So that's kind of where I was going with that. But hey, man, nothing wrong with looking forward to maybe winning what Mike Mitchell called look forward. He said they were talking about, I think, Steve Smith. And Mike Mitchell says, look forward to playing you in the AFC North Championship. And that's kind of the way it's boiled down for this Sunday. So, and I think Ben had also said something about, you don't need to get motivated to play in this game. If you need something to get motivated, you know, I don't know what else you would need. So these guys are ready to go on both sides. Let's just hope there is no other dirty stuff going on, because we saw some locker room justice with Dave DeCastro against Vontez Burfict, and we saw all the crazy self-destructive things that the Cincinnati Bengals do. The only guy that's ever done anything real dirty I remember is Terrell Suggs. Broke Ben's nose, didn't he? What was that, about 5-6 years ago in a game?
Oh, is he the one that broke Ben's nose?
I thought it was Suggs that did, but...
you know, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it was Suggs. I think it was when we were facing the Raiders, and I think a Raiders player broke the nose. And then the next week it was against the Ravens. He had a play. I'm not sure, though. That might be something to look up. But it could have been Suggs. Absolutely, it could have been. You know, the difference between the Ravens and the Bengals. Now, these are two teams. One's a real rivalry and one's not. Then the Ravens is the real rivalry, and then the Bengals, it's completely, it's not, it's made up. And I believe Foster or Gilbert or one of the offensive linemen talked about that, and they're just making something out of nothing, is what he basically said. I forget who it was, and it's completely true. I do not respect the Cincinnati Bengals at all. I think that organization is just a complete joke. To be honest with you, with Vontez Burfict, he's like the head coach, Marvin Lewis, you know. But I'll tell you the honest truth. When I see two teams face off in the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, now that is a team that I do respect to a degree. I hate them. I really do. But I respect them because their players aren't 100% dirty like the Bengals. It's always a hard-fought game. I look back to the AFC divisionals that the teams have faced in 2008 and 2010, or 11 technically, in January. Yeah. And I just – it gets you hyped up, you know. And that's what I love about the teams, because they can beat them over and over. And they lose over and over. It's just back and forth. And over the last few years, it hasn't been. Against the Bengals, we've been kicking their butt for the past few years. You know, that's the real reason why.
A lot of people want to say that, but I want to say, Ben, if I had the number correctly. Oh, and by the way, I did find that. It was Haloti Ngata, and that's why it wasn't coming to mind, because Haloti Ngata no longer with the Baltimore Ravens, but that is when it happened.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, so...
I thought it was the Raiders. Maybe something happened against them.
It's the holidays, man. I mean, that's just the way it's going. But Ben Roethlisberger against Baltimore in the regular season at Heinz Field. Yeah, we have to put the asterisk of regular season because of that stupid 2014 game with Ben Tate, who basically just gave the ball to Terrell Suggs on a play. 7-2 versus Baltimore at Heinz Field at home. Regular season, so when we have Ben, usually pretty good, and the game's a lot more even. So there you go there. And of course, for the Ravens, I mean, they have to win both of these games in order to have a shot. So they're going to be psyched up. They're going to be ready. You can never discredit them. Like you said, I hate them. I hate the Baltimore Ravens. Hate is such a strong word, but guess what? I strongly dislike, maybe I could say, but they're 8-6. They're trying to squeak into the playoffs at 10-6. I say the Steelers don't let them do so, and the Steelers can they could finish this season 11-5 atop the AFC North. So, hey, Nate, always good having you on, buddy. I mean, I don't take like another 6 months to jump back in here and join us.
I'll tell you, I probably won't. I just been real busy with school and everything, trying to grind it out here. But I really appreciate coming on board and talking some Steelers-Ravens rivalry and everything in the pregame, because this is going to be something to watch and something that hopefully we can remember positively for the next few years to come.
You know, the only thing I'm going to be remembering is probably how miserable I'm going to be attempting to watch this game at home, knowing I could be at Heinz Field on Sunday, just because I think I called out Goodell in the previous episode that we just had of this podcast for scheduling this game, not only on Christmas, but 4:30, like, you know, dinner time for me and the family on Christmas Day against the Ravens. You know, if this game's in Baltimore, obviously I wouldn't go to Baltimore on Christmas Day. This was a difficult decision for me. And on top of that, I almost feel it's like this conspiracy theory of Roger Goodell. First, you don't have Vontaze Burfict coming to Pittsburgh when we play in week two. And now you bring the Ravens in so you can try and thin our crowd out on Sunday with a 4:30 Christmas dinner time game and force people to maybe watch at home. Or, you know, there's some diehards, and I'm a diehard. Let me tell you, this was I was like 99% on going, and there's this 1% of me, I have my little girl, and I can't leave her on Christmas. So I hope Steelers Nation understands. For those of you who are going, make it loud, man. And let me tell you, the Color Rush jerseys, blackout Heinz Field as well. Nate, once again, from Steel City Report, steelcityreport.com, I'm sure, right? Is that the correct? Absolutely. So check him out as well. It does a lot of similar things. We're good friends here. So we don't fight. We play friendly. The Report, the Underground, do a lot of similar things. Check them out as well, and make sure you follow them on Twitter. Until next time, folks, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, season's greetings, and Festivus for the rest of us. Be safe, be good, and I'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.